The story of retired Army Commander Sergeant Major Gretchen Evans is inspirational. Prior to her retirement due to combat injuries, Evans was responsible for more than 30,000 ground troops in Afghanistan and is one of the most decorated female veterans in U.S. military history. Every summer, ESPN, the sports network in the United States, hands out awards to celebrate different things from the sporting world. And last summer, she was the recipient of the Pat Tillman Award for Service because of what she has done since her military career has ended. Here is a small part of her story. You can play that video.
I talked to the troops. I said, we have a decision to make. We can stay right here and try to hold until we get reinforcements, or we can try to make it to the top of the mountain, which would be better terrain for us to defend ourselves. The decision is mine to make, and I decided we were going to try to get to the top of the mountain. The enemy was pursuing us, and we finally got to the top. We decided that was going to be our last stand. And I kept radioing back and said, okay, now I'm at the top of the mountain and they're coming and I'm low on ammo and this is not looking good to me. So we laid down and we took our magazines and we stacked them. And we said, okay, bring it. And then I heard it before I ever saw it, that beautiful sound of a helicopter. It's Apaches, you know, still makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up, flew over us, you know, and fired those missiles into those enemy troops that had been pursuing us and took care of that. And as we're pulling away, I thought to myself, I just spent a lifetime on that mountain. I left three men on that mountain. And actually, I left part of myself on that mountain. I went to the pilot and I said to him, thank you for saving us. And he goes, Sergeant Major, we were listening to you all morning on the radio. We were not going to leave you on that mountain. And I just said, thank you. Thank you for doing that. I appreciate that. I really do. And he goes, that's my job. That's what I do.
That's my job. That's what I do. It's a good reminder for us. I share her story with us because it helps us to understand the incalculable capacity that God provides for us to make a difference in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our community, and in our world. Sergeant Major Evans would go on to talk about one particular military training exercise called the rope team. In this drill, the team would literally be linked by a rope that was tied to each of them as though they were one body, one unit. I thought about trying to do that here this morning, but there was some reluctance with the cheese last week, so I didn't know how that would go. These then, tied together, they would have to complete obstacle courses, and you can see why I maybe hesitated, and then some steep hikes over rugged terrain, all while they were tied together. And they did this over and over and over again. Why did they do it? So they could learn about each other's strengths and weaknesses, and so they could understand the importance of finding a pace that would enable everybody to reach their end point safely. It helped them to gain trust in one another, to accomplish their shared mission together, particularly if in difficult and dire circumstances. It taught them to value every role and every rank on the team, as they would all need to share leadership. They would need to practice mutual submission and concern for the whole group in order to fulfill their given mission. It's a really compelling story. You should look it up. When we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul is speaking to a diverse and dysfunctional group of people. They are imperfect. Some have come from a more grounded religious background. Others have no idea what it means to believe in God together with others. To all of them, he gives the same message, which began back in the previous chapter, in chapter 11, and extends for the next couple of chapters, chapters 13 and 14. And the message is simply this: when we come together, we do so to glorify Jesus until he returns. This is why we take time to remember the sacrifice of Christ on our behalf on a regular basis. That's where the Apostle Paul started in the previous chapter. So next, as he moves into this passage that we're going to look at, he's intentional and purposeful in describing how we are to function together. And notice that as we read that our function is not to, be based on social or economic status. It's not based on age or gender. It's not based on personality or persuasion or knowledge accumulation. The evidence of God's grace through the gifts that he gives to those who place their trust in Jesus is the means by which we function. The gifts of grace allow us to accomplish our God-given mission and purpose as a church family. Let's read about them together in these first 11 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagan, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. And all these are the works of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. You know, these first three verses of this chapter, the Apostle Paul is coming back to a question which the Corinthians have previously inquired. He speaks to the effective work of the Holy Spirit among us as a group, as a family, as a body of believers. In so doing, he communicates his appreciation of their inquiry as he begins this section in a manner similar to other major sections that you'll find throughout this letter. He says, now concerning, he's listened to them, he's addressing their question, and as he does, he warns against using unspiritual thinking to understand the work of the Holy Spirit. You see, in the ancient city of Corinth, it was an incredible city. It was highly rated for its affluence and its intellectual superiority. They had the best architecture, and they had all kinds of philosophical and religious thinkers. It was a major trade route for the nations of the world at that time, and all these influences were having an impact on how the church was functioning. Paul, in a straightforward manner, says spiritual matters come together through a common, heartfelt, Spirit-influenced declaration of Jesus as Lord. Jesus is Lord is the confession that we bring. Now, if you have a relationship with Jesus, then say this with me: Jesus is Lord. Ready? One, two, three. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. There's a heartfelt desire to be able to say this. You know that most people, most followers of Jesus, don't even speak the name of Jesus during the course of their week to remind themselves of the presence of Jesus. Jesus is Lord. There's a little song that we, a little chorus that we used to sing in the church. And Will, do you got those words there? Yeah. We're just going to do that just right now, just to help, just to remind us. And maybe this is helpful for you. It's something I go to every now and then, just to, I need a little recalibration. This helps me out. So help me out, would you? He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow. Amen. Jesus is Lord. May that be an encouragement to you. Now, most of you who are learning along with me will understand that our salvation in Jesus Christ is a gift from God, right? That is, we don't earn our favor with God. Rather, he makes a way to have a relationship with us through the life, the death, the resurrection, the ascension, and the promised return of Jesus. The gift of salvation is received through an acknowledgement of God's grace towards us. Many of you at some point have spoken to God with words similar to these, and I'm going to show you, acknowledging receiving this gift. You've prayed something towards this end. Dear God, I realize that I am a sinner and could never experience the power of Jesus or the promise of eternal life based on my own good deeds. Salvation is a gift that only you can give, God. So right now, I place my faith in Jesus Christ as God's Son, who died for my sin and rose from the dead to give me eternal life. Please forgive my sin and help me to live today for you. Thank you for accepting me and giving me this gift of eternal life. May the life of Jesus be lived through me from this day forward. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer or something similar with a heartfelt conviction, then you have received the gift of salvation. Jesus is Lord. Just as I acknowledged his lordship over my life, and now almost 36 years ago, I continue to do so every day. But there's more. There's more. The gift of salvation is not the only gift that God gives you. And as we move through chapter or through verses 4 to 6, Paul underlines this grandeur of these additional gifts of God, Spirit, Son, and Father, through which we understand the evidence of his of the Spirit in the lives of those who profess lordship of Jesus. He introduces a word to us that has become, in some settings, divisive among those who share faith in Jesus Christ. Can you imagine? The word literally means gifts of grace. Paul says, these gifts of grace comes to those who profess faith in Jesus. These gifts of grace are given by the Spirit of God. These gifts of grace are put into service by the life of Jesus, and these gifts of grace provide evidence of the work of God the Father, which we just sang about in that song, Holy, 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 right? All the gifts of grace mentioned in the verses to come reflect the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And the word that Paul uses, which we read here as gifts in verse 4, and we'll read it again in verse 9, that word is charisma. Charisma literally means, in its original language, it means the unmerited gift or divine favor. When you receive the gift of salvation in Jesus Christ, you also receive from the Holy Spirit at least one additional gift of divine favor, which is to be put into service to provide evidence of the work of God the Father in you and for others. And as you read through these verses from verses 7 to 11, you'll notice quite a number of different gifts that are listed. In fact, if you put those together with the other three New Testament passages, you'll have an even bigger list. And so with Paul having written three of those passages and Peter having written the other, then it's important to recognize that this list in this chapter is not exhaustive. It's not complete. It is not finite. It's also important to remember that the Spirit of God can and does give a particular emphasis with some gifts. However, there are various evidences or manifestations of the Spirit which should be common to all who profess faith in Christ. Some would refer to them as the fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's probably a song that goes with that that many of you will know. There are still other means through which we should demonstrate the grace of God that should be evident in all of us. We're all called to serve one another. We're all called to encourage one another. We're all called to give. We're all called to go into the world and to teach others what it means to follow Jesus. And there's more. So if you would understand this, if you would agree with this, that it is that we all by faith in Jesus Christ have these gifts of grace, that is, we have this charisma, you know what that makes you? Do you know what that makes you? Charismatic. Go ahead, say it. Oh, you don't even want to. That is so funny. That is hilarious. Way to go. If you have received these gifts of grace, the charisma of God, that makes you charismatic. Wrestle with that for the rest of the week. Right? So that makes what happened on Palm Sunday. You know, Palm Sunday, we were at the service at Temple Baptist where all the churches came together, many different denominations. That's what made it so special. A number of you were there. It was really special. We came together and we laid aside our preferences under the Lordship of Christ. And it just reminded us that isn't it unfortunate there has to be divisions among the greater body of Christ from the misuse of this word? So now in saying this, it's also important to note that some of you have been given an extra measure of gifting in even these areas. To all of us, we ought to share a base level of some of those spiritual gifts that I've already mentioned. But to others have been given a greater portion, where you know some might give more generously or be way better at encouraging because that's the way the Spirit of God has been at work in your life. Now, before we leave this, and I'm not going to go through each and every gift that's mentioned here in this list because, as I mentioned before, it's not exhaustive, but I do want you to take a hard look at verse 7 again. Paul says that the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. In the diversity of gifts, in the different ways and rhythms and settings in which those gifts can be used, in the varying degree to which certain people are gifted by the Holy Spirit, that is, that they are able to display this through the life of Jesus through their lives to the glory of God the Father, we ought to do this, for the good of everyone. Congregational life and the reputation of the church continues to be undone when we elevate the vessel or the gift over the giver of the gift, who is Jesus. In fact, when you read through the rest of this chapter, Paul uses the analogy of our bodies and each part of our body as working together as a unit, as a whole, in order to help us understand how this functions. Every part has a function and a contribution to make. When one doesn't work, when one part of us doesn't work, the rest doesn't work as effectively. Therefore, no one part should be favored more than another. And then in chapter 13, he underscores the significance of this common good by indicating that if exercising your gift isn't done with a genuine and sacrificial concern for the benefit of others, if it has not love, then it is worth nothing. It rings hollow. It is empty. We serve Christ, demonstrating that we are his workers, by our commitment to love others deeply, even in a world that seems to be moving further and further away from God's standard of goodness and holiness. This is, in fact, how the SCMC has been shaped since its founding in 1952. It was well established as a church in this community that extended itself to its neighborhood in the name of Jesus, with the love of Jesus and for the glory of God. In order to do this, in our times, we have drilled down deeper with simple strategic means: serve, pray, respond in grace. Spring. It's always spring at the SCMC. Our desire is to see each person understand their unique gifting and use it to serve those in our community. And as you do, you'll realize your natural human inclination, the limitations around that, and you'll be drawn to talk to God about the needs that you encounter and even your own capacity. And then with charisma, that is with the gift of grace, he will more than sufficiently supply your need, and he will knit you together with others to help you accomplish more than you could ever do on your own. So how do we know? How do we know what gift is ours? Discerning and developing our spiritual gifts is a process that is helped by talking to God, by willing service, that means giving the freedom to fail and discover, by openness and correction and humility with others. Let me tell you a little bit about my story. I sat down with Pat Turvey a couple of weeks ago. He had this assignment where he had to interview a pastor about their call to ministry. And so it was good to be able to just share the story again out loud. And he asked me how it all started, and I said, I don't really know. But as I thought through it, in our home church in Ottawa, as a new believer, and I was reading these things about, yeah, I know we ought to be serving and things like that. There was a need in our church family where the custodians were sick, and they needed somebody to vacuum the church building, the sanctuary, and the like. And so I thought, well, I could do that. Couldn't I do that? I could do that. So I thought, well, there's probably lots of other people who could do that. Turns out I was the only one who offered. So they said yes. And I never vacuumed at home. I vacuumed there. And so I did. And, you know, one of the reasons I did was I thought it would get me in closer proximity to the pastors of the church and the staff of the church. It's a multi-staff church, and that's exactly what happened. So I would be vacuuming away a couple of days a week and have the opportunity to sit down and talk to these different pastors about what they do. And through that, their prodding, their questioning, they came to realize maybe I have the capacity to teach. And so they gave me little bits of opportunity to do that. In small settings and different settings. So every time there was, they said, and this is one of the things they said, so if one of the ways you'll discern that is, you know, is that something that you are fueled by, what you continue to do and you think about, and so take the opportunities that come to you. And so I looked for opportunities, and some of them were in really small settings, some of them were with little kids, some of them were with older people, some of them were international students. And every time I heard of an opportunity, then I said yes. And I received feedback from that and continued to grow in that and have people build into my life through that. That's a little bit of how this, understanding this. And if you know me personally outside of this, you know. So I can tell you that my main spiritual gift is teaching and preaching. My second spiritual gift is helping. My third, is leadership. Those three together are how God has uniquely given me gifts of grace. And for those of you who know me personally and have tried to have a conversation with me personally, you know I'm not that talkative. And if you know me who, apart from Christ, you know I'm actually, apart from Christ, before I came to know Christ, I was actually very selfish. Helping others really wasn't on my radar. And having a concern about where others end up in their lives really was something completely foreign to me. I know that when I take this opportunity, it's something that God has given. And so I do my best to treat it carefully and ask God to enable it all the more. Use it for his glory. At the SCMC, we desire to equip you to serve in the everyday spaces of your life. where the world around us needs to experience the love and the light of Jesus. If you have never discerned your spiritual gift or gifts, or if it's been a while, then and you'd like to have some help in discerning this, then you can contact me. My email address, you can track that down for you. And then what I'll do is I'll send you a link, and you can do an online assessment, and then you can do it home at your pace. And then once completed, we'll come together with others, and we'll discern, and we'll help you to understand how the Lord might be working in you, and what setting would be best for you to serve, whether that is here or in your neighborhood or in your workplace or in another organization. In so doing, you will continue to grow in grace and be a demonstration of the presence of the Spirit of God. I promise you, because that is God's promise towards us. As a 27-year veteran, Sergeant Major Evans experienced loss of hearing and traumatic brain injuries from wounds that she suffered in combat. During her recovery from lost hearing and traumatic brain injuries and PTSD, Major Evans hit the lowest point of her life. But thanks to her faith in God, her commitment to other people, she was dismayed, but she was not defeated. Sergeant Major Evans formed Team Unbroken, a group of veterans and civilians who experienced life-altering injuries, illnesses, or traumas that participate in adventure races worldwide. Even in the changes of time and circumstance and capacity, Gretchen Evans has found fulfillment in her life. Part of her story is learning to trust the gifts and strengths that God has given her and allowing Him to use her beyond what she thought was possible, together with others on a shared mission. I want you to listen to the last part of her video.
To anyone listening tonight who is in a dark place, I ask you to look and find that flickering light that's inside of you. Whether you're a star athlete, a wounded veteran, facing shattered bones, or a crushed spirit, embrace your struggle for what it is, but know that you do not have to do this by yourself. Find your rope team, those trusted friends that will never let you down, whether they be two-legged or four-legged. Let go of that burden and hold on to the rope with them. Alone, we might want to give up, but together we are unafraid. We are unstoppable and unbroken, and we will banish loneliness, combat hopelessness, and bring the light to the darkness in each other's lives, because what is within us is stronger than anything in our way. Thank you so much.
I love her story. I love even more the possibility of what Jesus wants to do in our lives. I believe the words of truth given to us by God. I believe in the life of Jesus given for me and for you. I believe in the powerful work of the Holy Spirit to bring evidence to God through our lives and for His glory. I also believe that we are in a tough battle against darkness and evil, and we strive against that, struggle against that all the time. However, to a so much greater extent, I believe that through Jesus we will prevail, that in Christ we are more than conquerors, that it is only together as brothers and sisters in God's rope team, using the gifts of grace, the charisma which God has given, that we will be able to serve His greater eternal purposes. Too often we shrink back into what we think is only naturally possible. We need one another. That's why it's important for us to gather in the name of Jesus and know one another, to bear with one another when our preferences aren't met, to serve one another and to encourage one another in love. We are not perfect in this. We will not be perfect in this going forward, but this is the end to which we ought to strive, and we desire for more and more of you to let go of your former ways of thinking and respond to the work of God's grace in your life and for his glory. Let's pray together. Father, we come before you and we say thank you for not just leaving us as we are, but for creating us for unique and divine and greater purposes. And some of us, God, we have resisted the work of your Spirit in our lives. So just, God, as your Spirit breathed life into those Adam, and when you first created them, God, just as your Spirit breathed life into the words that were written for us to learn from, just, God, as Jesus breathed his last in words of forgiveness for us, he also, Father, in rising from the dead, breathed the power and the presence of the Spirit on his disciples. Would your breath, your Spirit, be at work among us? Would you free us from our own reluctance to allow you to use us with the gifts of grace that you have given for your unique purpose for our lives? And knit us together all the more with others who will encourage us and strengthen us for the journey ahead. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.